Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Morning Show today. This is Wednesday, October 16th, 2019. I'm Susie Perez, and today I have a guest co-host, Lissa DeFreitas, who is a KRFY certified broadcaster and the volunteer and bereavement coordinator of Bonner General Health Community Hospice. And today we will be hosting a special morning show. I have four beautiful women here that we will be talking about a panel discussion or conversation, as Lissa likes to say, on living and dying well. So something a bit different today. And Lissa, as my co-host, yes. Welcome.
Thank you, Susie. It is such a gift to be here with you and to be in this beautiful circle with these women, developers and visionaries, with conversations on living and dying well. I want to say good morning to all of you.
Yeah, why don't you introduce the guests, and then we'll do the weather and the Sandpoint
okay.
City Minute.
Here in the circle together, we have Dr. Nicole Pelley, who is a palliative care physician with Kootenai Health. She's also affiliated with the North Idaho Palliative Care Coalition. Welcome, Dr.
Good morning.
Pelley.
Thank you.
We have Heidi Hamp, and I want to say, amazing woman, who has helped facilitate the Death Cafe here in Sandpoint, is an end-of-life doula and advocate for the Green Burial Movement and the owner of the Rejuvenation Sanctuary. We're so grateful for your gift of being with us today, Heidi. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Lissa.
And Jenna Moss is an LCSW here in Sandpoint, but I want to say Jenna has been companioning with the dying for many years and has been a very vital part of our local nonprofit community hospice. I'm so grateful for your presence with us today, Jenna, and welcome.
Thank you, Lissa, and good morning to all.
Yay.
Well, we have a very special, as I said, panel conversation coming up, but let's hear the weather from the National Weather Service, because that's always a fun thing in the morning. Currently, it's 37 degrees. It's partly sunny. Today, we have a high of 62. So if you get the chance to get out into the sunshine, that's partly going to be there, good suggestion. Because coming up for about a week, it's rain. 90% chance of rain tonight, a low of 42. And on through the week, it's 60 to 90% chance of rain, highs in the 50s and lows in the high 30s. So there you go, folks. That's about it from the National Weather Service. I also want to, at this point in time, the KRFY Fall Online Auction is now closed. We want to thank everyone who donated items to the auction and everyone who bid on those most amazing auction items. Thank you for supporting this community radio station. And we have all kinds of other announcements, but we have the Sandpoint City Minute right now. So this is from the desk of Jennifer Stapleton, the city administrator. At its October 16th, 2019 meeting, that is tonight, the city council will be considering whether to approve the design concept for War Memorial Field and authorize staff to move forward with an RFQ for engineering services. This concept recommends an artificial turf surface to maximize play ability of the field. They will also have a council public workshop to discuss changes to our sidewalk codes. The meeting starts at 5:30 tonight at the City Council Chamber at City Hall. That's on Lake Street. And you can go to their website, which is sandpointidaho.gov, and find out more. And as far as the street revitalization update from the city website, I found out this morning, they have a work schedule posted that's very interesting week by week and day by day. It looks like currently the traffic will start on First Avenue October 28th, and this phase of the project will be done, and it will be closed and done on November 26th and start back up April 2020. So again, go to sandpointidaho.gov. You can sign up for their Engage Sandpoint and see everything you need to see to be involved in your city government. And that's it. And so now, Lissa,
we're ready.
Take it away.
All right. What a blessing. Well, first I want to start off with just a question and an exploration from all of you beautiful developers. And I'd like to start with you, Dr. Pelley, to explain perhaps, what is this vision? Where did this vision come from? And where was it birthed and why was it birthed, about having a week-long conversation about living and dying well? Where did that come from? Could you share that with us?
The vision came really through me one day after seeing patients here in Sandpoint, as I do, that this community was really a unique place. It was a unique place to have a conversation. And so it was inspired by the people of this town, and also the art that I see in daily life in Sandpoint. Sandpoint is a different kind of community compared to others in North Idaho. And I wondered whether we could use the art I saw throughout the town as a basis for starting the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Different kinds of art appeal to different people, and so I had an idea that we could choose different kinds of art, create different art venues, and use that as a basis from which to continue conversations.
Mm, that's beautiful. One of the things that I notice in this whole process in the development, because I got to team with all of you, is it's kind of like a weaving. It's like all of our energies brought together, bringing our visions together to say, I wonder what it would look like if, from my experience, these are things that I've noticed that people ask questions about. I'm going to just direct this to each of you. What are the visions that you hold in your heart for our community here in Sandpoint for this week? Jenna.
Well, for me, it is about opening our eyes to the truth of the matter, that we have a finite life. And I think that if we open our eyes to that and really look at that, like, there may not be a tomorrow, then how do I want to live today? And that's what it's about for me, is to enrich my own life by looking at the possibility that I could be dead at any moment. And so it's, don't wait, meet this moment right now.
Thank you, Jenna. Heidi.
Yeah, for me, I have this big piece in my heart to connect with people on what their rights are. And knowing that they have the right to choose a home funeral and a green burial, the activist in me really wants people to know that they can have their last action that they do on this planet in harmony with this earth. And so I got really excited to jump on board with this incredible group of women as an opportunity to have the conversation with the community about these topics, and to have the conversation as we take with our hands the natural pieces of this earth here, the willow here, and the cattail, and the wisteria, and weave it. Weave our stories and our tears and our laughter in creating this community casket together. So,
Thank you. And Heidi, can you explain, since you're at that juncture, explain what that looks like at the hub? Because the hub is kind of a central place where all of these happenings, these experiences are unfolding. I mean, it is amazing. The first time that I walked into this sacred space that you created at 119 First, I was in awe. Could you share with our community what that weaving experience is like?
Yeah. Well, I felt compelled to bring all the little sacred nooks and crannies from our sanctuary and create something that would have people feel really comfortable when they walked in, to drop in, to change the frequency. The vibration, if you will. And when you walk in, you can feel that. And I'm stoked that you did.
It's palatable.
Yeah. So when you come in on the right-hand side, you will be able to see all these great facts on the wall that talks about what's happening right now with modern-day funerals and cremations and such. And then you can cycle your way into a library of documentaries that you can sit down and watch anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes. We have some headphones for you that you can listen to. And the right beyond that is green burials and green funeral information. Lots of stuff for people to pick up, so that if you just want to cruise through and just grab some info and read it at home later, you're welcome to. We have coffee that's been donated by Evans Brothers. So just come in and take a little sip and drink of that and some delicious goodies and teas, a selection of teas. We have the weaving that's happening to the left, and we're working on the base and the lid right now. So any creative people out there that have lots of basket weaving experiences, we would love to have you in there to support us and help us in this process and teach us, and we're teaching each other. We have a corner for community collage. We have markers and crayons, and we have scissors and magazines. And so wherever you're at in your creativity, you're welcome to come and show us that and share your experience. We have live musicians that are coming every day. We have flutist Denny that has been there the last two mornings, mm-hmm. and I believe Lissa will be.
Yes, I will. I'll be playing the harp today. And we've been teaming with the Music Conservatory and POAC, and it has been amazing, amazing partnership in terms of providing the sacred space for people to come and be and to just have a conversation, to experience whatever it is for them to experience, along with some advanced care directive planning that will be available, and Dr. Pelly can speak to that in a minute. And Susie, did you have something?
I just wanted to say that a friend came into the studio yesterday and had stopped by at your center there at 119 First Street here in downtown, and they were amazed, not only just amazed at the beauty and the ambiance, so to speak, but the feeling when they walked in, it was something different. So we just wanted to express a thank you for creating a space where people could come in and do all the things that you're providing there.
It's a transformational space. Dr. Pelly, you had something.
Part of that original vision was that we could lay a framework out and have community members step up to the plate and bring whatever they wanted to offer. That was really a part. This wasn't us planning the entire thing. It was us creating a framework. And as we shared our vision for this week, it was amazing to see the citizens of Sandpoint, the community, step up and say, I could do a class on how to write an obituary. What a wonderful add-in that I could never have thought of. And so this week and the space at 119 North First Avenue has really been created through all of the community members in this town giving of their own talents.
Mm-hmm. That's what I love about the weaving metaphor that you shared originally with us, Heidi. It is like a weaving where we're blending with our community and we're bringing in our inspiration, our ideas, and our vision, and our experiences about living life. And that was something I just want to roll back. We've already had two experiences, Monday and Tuesday, with the Death Cafe, which was amazing, and with the open mic. I'm just wondering if we could just share a little bit about what was your takeaway from that experience in terms of, was it, you know, what you heard from our community?
So I'll speak to the open mic last night at Beet and Basil. And we had a full room. It was so amazing. Talk about people bringing their gifts. And so people read poetry that they had either created themselves or just spoke to them and told story. And we had songs and beautiful kung pao cauliflower and appetizers. And it was just amazing and enlivening and fun. We even had my brother, professional comedian, came and told jokes about dying. And it was to see the energy or feel the energy in the room and afterwards as people were communicating and talking, like Heidi had mentioned at the bar. She went to the bar prior to, and this couple were there, and she's going, come on, come and join us. Death is fun. And they did, and they were the last ones to leave.
Wow.
And so it just was so uplifting to be able to do art together and communicate together. It was a great night.
It's an excellent point, because death is such a fearful thing for many of us that we push it away. We know it's going to happen, but we don't want to think about it. And when we're unexpectedly pulled in, really beauty can happen. And that inspires us to live better in the days that we have. And that's really the goal of this whole week, is that if we can reduce the fear around dying, think about dying well, plan for dying well, we can actually live better every day now.
Mm.
Yeah. Those folks, they're funny because they came, we had an after hours party weaving over at the casket, and they're from Montana, somewhere in Montana and Seattle, and they're going to plan now on coming and helping weave the casket. So wow. Now we just don't have, we're not just touching upon people here in our local area, we're touching upon the people that are drawn to this area for its beauty and for its creativity, and now they're weaving their stories into the casket. So
that's
I think that's really exciting.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Did you want to comment about your experience with the Death Cafe on Monday? I mean, there was a big group there, and there was much inspiration that flowed from that group. Do you want to share a little?
That was good. We had like 22 people, I believe, came that night, and a lot of them were new. I had never seen them before, so that was really fun. I just love every Death Cafe is so unique and who shows up and what they share, because for those of you out there that don't know about Death Cafe, it's often strangers that show up and it's led by the group. So there is no guest speaker, there is no agenda. It's just what does organically bubble up when you say, we're going to sit down here and eat some cake, drink some tea, and talk about death. So it was a fantastic night.
That's beautiful. What, Susan?
You just mentioned the Death Cafe as if it's something that it more than just last night or Monday night. So is this an ongoing project or event?
Yeah. Brian Lorenzen and I have been for the last, I guess, 6 months or so, have been doing it once a month unless we're unavailable. So we try, and it changes. Each month is a different place. But if you come by our hub at 119 North First Street, there is a sign-in sheet there for Death Cafe, and we will send you an email out when we know where and when and all the details about that.
That's beautiful. And I want to also share, Susie, is that this is a international movement, which is amazing. Did you want to speak a little bit about that?
So it's an international movement that was started, was inspired by a philosopher in Sweden, and then a man in England was compelled to turn death mortality into a death cafe. And so it stems back there, but now it's all over the world in all countries. And you, if you're listening from far, far away, you can go on to deathcafe.com. It'll give you all the facts and figures, and you can look in your area to see if there's a local death cafe for you there.
Thank you, Heidi. One of the things that I heard when I was at the Death Cafe on Monday was beautiful, because someone in the circle had said, what is living and dying well? What is that? And that conversations that were emerged from that experience were amazing. But I would like to explore this with each of you. What is living and dying well all about? What is it to us, each of you?
I'm blessed enough to hear the stories of my patients on a daily basis. And my belief is that it is the stories of our lives which then create how we die well. And every person's journey is unique. Every person's journey is different. Sometimes the journey that we think we're going to be on isn't the journey that we actually end up on. And it's about taking control of that journey so that we, as I said, plan for things that we know are going to happen and then are more inspired to be present in our daily life, to love larger, to love bigger, to love each other more, to do what we want to do rather than putting things off for the future. And so I really believe that when we think a little bit about dying well, we are, again, inspired to live bigger and better and love more every single day.
Mm. Jenna, you had something.
Well, for me, I think of my little finite self, and then by doing this work and working with people on it, Dr. Pelley said, it's about options and what are my choices. And I think for me, when I think about that, my life is only here for a certain amount of years, is what do I want to make of it and what do I want to share? And it actually takes me from less ego to more of an ecosystem, more of looking at the whole. So I'm super excited to learn about green burials, because that's a piece that I don't know about, but I think that that is can expand into my death actually enriching the earth. And so that fits with my philosophy so much.
Yes, and, Heidi.
Yeah, for me, death has been such a big piece of my life since I was little, because my mom started dying when I was 7, and then she left the planet when I was 11. And so I was raised knowing that life is not a guarantee. You're not guaranteed the next day. You're not guaranteed to be with your parents or your friends and what have you. So at a really young age, I've been kind of seizing life and doing whatever it is that calls me. I don't wait ever. I don't wait for someone to buy me something that I want. Like if I go to a store or travel, I get it for myself. So I don't wait for special holidays. Every day is a holiday for me. Every day is truly a gift. So yeah, wow. I give thanks for that troubling childhood that really enriched the rest of my life.
So beautifully shared. We're going to take 1 minute for Susie to take us away on.
I just want to let our listeners know, thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY, and this is the morning show, and we're having a special morning show. I just want to introduce our guest again. This is Dr. Nicole Pelley, Heidi Heitkamp, and Jenna Moss, along with the co-host Lisa DeFreitas. I kind of got stumped there. But we're talking about the Living and Dying Well event, and also just some general conversations about living and dying well. This is a week-long event that is quite awesome, actually, from October 14th through the 19th. So let's continue.
Wow. Well, I'm still in the vibration of don't wait. I love what you just shared, Heidi, about giving yourself the gift of life, of embracing the life, of recognizing the finite nature that we all have, and we all have a choice. I've heard you mention choice many times, Dr. Pelley. Is that how perfect that we can really weave our own life in the way we want and to recognize the beauty and the value of it? And one of the things that I have experienced in my journey of loss and experience of being with others at the end of life is how important our relationships can be. We have that mirror to us to say, wow, our relationships are also finite. And how am I valuing them? How am I experiencing them? And how am I celebrating them each and every day? I love that. And I know, Dr. Pelley, you had something to add here.
I was thinking about relationships and the relationships I see when a patient and family members come into my office facing their inevitable death, which has suddenly become real to them. People have a moment where they know, oh my gosh, this is actually now going to happen. Death is a faraway thing for most of us. And then there's this moment of realization when people say, okay, this is it now. And that moment for some can be a turning point and can turn the rest of their journey into closer relationships with their friends and family, can transform that final act of living, which is how I like to think of dying, that final act of living into something really magical. Not that it's easy, not that it's always pretty, but it can be very, very real. And I think that that relationship with being deeply real in our lives is something that we all crave very much in today's busy life. And moments to be real are more likely to happen at the end of life sometimes than as we just go through our days. Mm. Opportunity is what I think about. Mm.
Jenna, I can see you have something.
Well, that's exactly why we're doing this week, because it is don't wait to have those conversations, because many people at the end of their life, they're not in a space where they can actually make choices and make their needs known. And so it really is a lifetime of conversation, so that you're likely to have your end of living time be as you would have desired and enriched and get the most out of that precious, precious transformational time. And in terms of relationships with my work as a hospice social worker, that is my takeaway, is to build those relationships now, because at the end of your life, those are the things that matter. Who's going to be there taking care of you, and what are you going to share, and what is your legacy to leave behind? So again, don't wait.
One of the comments that I have heard from my patients and their families is, why didn't we just take 1 hour? We were in this dying process. We knew what was happening. We were hoping it wasn't. And we were so focused on hope that we didn't want to take that few minutes or hour to say, we can still hope, but we know that we're actually going to die now. And that's a regret that I hear from families afterwards. And Katie Couric, even, there was an article recently about how much she regretted because she was so focused on giving her husband hope for survival. She never took the opportunity, just an hour, to say, no, actually going to die now. And what does this look like between the two of us, given that backdrop? You can do that without losing hope.
Yes.
At Death Cafe, I did really feel moved by Masai. I don't know her last name.
But Masai Jones.
Masai Jones. And her bringing the life review concept to me, which I didn't know that that was available in this community, that people could make these tapes. And I was thinking how incredible it would be if my mom had had that opportunity back then, if that was offered to her, what a gift it would have been for me to listen to now, and then for me to give to my daughter, for her to listen to. So that, taking that time to do that life review, I think is very powerful.
It is. And we are so blessed to be able to have some volunteers that offer that at our hospice. And not everyone is a taker on that. Jenna knows this. So sometimes they get into that place where, just as you were describing, Dr. Pelly, could we just take a moment to talk about what this is, what I really need to do before I leave this world? Is there something I want to leave behind? And one of the things that in Masai's work that I love, she calls it an interview. And that's where you get to ask the questions for that person, for them to explore themselves, to say, what is it that I have meaning? What gives me meaning? What is it that I value? What is it about my relationships I want to think about, recall? Maybe there is some deep work that I need to do of healing. Maybe there's some forgiveness work I'm doing, or maybe there's something I want to communicate to someone that I'm not thinking about it till just now. And to have that opportunity and then to have it on tape would be an amazing gift to be able to pass on to the people that you love. To hear that voice is amazing. It just brings us right back into our heart, into the experience that's ongoing in that loving relationship. It's powerful work. Not everyone signs up for it, but for those that do, it has been a great gift to them. This I know.
When we think about legacy work, it can take different forms. It can take telling our stories, gathering them together like we're talking about as a gift to leave behind. But legacy work also, and really should be, going on throughout our entire lives. Mm-hmm. What I see is so many people waiting until the end and then feeling like, oh my gosh, I need to do something, when perhaps they're not feeling as well, or they're not quote unquote themselves anymore. And so I want to move the conversation to thinking about legacy work throughout our lives, whether that's grandparents spending time with their grandchildren and telling stories, whether it's the quilts that we sew to pass on to our friends, whether it's music that we play together. I had a man and his daughter who often played music together, and one of his big gifts for her was always recording that music as a parent that he played with his daughter, so that when he was gone, she would have these recordings of them making music together. Mm-hmm. So really thinking about legacy work, not just at the very end of our life, but trying to incorporate it into each of our days as we're living well now.
Mm-hmm. I love what you're sharing. I have had this beautiful gift in my life of two dear friends who are living with Alzheimer's. And one of the things that Dan says to me, who's, you know, early onset dementia in stage 5 right now, he said, the most important thing is to create the memories. I want to live right now, this moment. I don't know what comes after, but I know in this moment, I want to do all the things that really make my heart sing. And one of the most important things, he says, I've done everything on my bucket list. I really don't have a bucket list, but I have things that make my heart smile, and my relationships are the most important thing, because I know that little by little, incrementally, I might lose that with my dementia, in terms of that connection to others. So I want to live it now. I want to be in that moment now, which is such an inspiration to me.
I just have been listening, and there's a couple things that came up. Dr. Pelle, you mentioned something about the fear. The death is fearful. And that's kind of ingrained into how we are as children, even. It's scary. It's fearful. And this, the Death Cafe and the work that you're doing with living and dying well, it really kind of takes the stigma away a little bit so that you can open up to something new, something different, a different experience. We're talking about consciousness and things like that. And it really brings to mind the beauty of paying attention and not getting to the point at the end where it's frantic. Because frantic energy is also very fearful. So it can be less fearful at the end, more peaceful, because you've done the work to get there. It's almost like the reward is you get at the end because you've put all the work into place. And it sounds like this work that you're doing and the Death Cafe that is available to people here in our community has that as part of the mission.
The planning piece in palliative care, we talk about hope, but planning. And I think that's so important because we often don't talk with our family members about, well, if this happens and I got really sick and I have a sudden heart attack and I end up in the emergency room in the ICU and it looks like I'm going to die, is that where I would want to die or do I want to be transferred to a more peaceful place? There's a lot of things that we can't plan at the end of our life. Sometimes it's more predictable than others. But an important piece of that planning process is really making sure that we've done our advanced directives and we've put it down in our living will and we've created a power of attorney for healthcare. And we've had the conversation, just as important as those pieces of paper are really the conversations, so that our loved ones who are around us in those times know what we would have wanted done. And I can't tell you the number of times in the emergency department we have a family member who's unconscious, who may have paperwork stating one wish, and their family members are in a moment of panic because of what they're facing. And they tell the emergency room doctors a different story than what the person actually wanted, i.e. the person perhaps didn't want treatment if they were at the end of their life and wanted to be able to die peacefully. The family member in a moment of panic says, no, that's not true. We need to do everything, which then creates this chaos. Whereas if we've had those conversations before with our family members, then I believe in those moments, family members will remember those conversations and say, wait, stop. This isn't what he or she would have wanted. We need to take a different path here. And as we think about the fact that so much of our lives are spent with this negative energy really at the end of our life, how do we change that? 90% of people say they want to die peacefully at home. 75% of people, unfortunately, die in the hospital in less than peaceful circumstances often. And so while we say we want one thing, we have to start taking the steps to actually create something different. One of the things that we're doing this week down at the Hub at 119 North First Avenue is we have an advanced directive station. We have Idaho documents. You don't need a notary to do them. We have volunteers, including myself, there to help you fill out that paperwork. And one of our goals for this community is that we have more people doing their advanced directives. It's simple to do. It just means come down, stop by, and let us help you get that done.
I remember one of the things that when you were talking about advanced care directives and saying, when would we do that? You know, because it really brings into the mind about that conscious living. And it's like, rather than wait till life-limiting illness or something's going on, that's a conversation that we can have way before with our family members. I heard something like that at the Death Cafe, someone in their 30s to say, I want to have that conversation right now with my family.
There's really three phases to advanced directives. If you're 18 years and above, then everyone should create a power of attorney for healthcare. Because if you're in an ATV accident or you flip your kayak on the lake and you're 22, your family is going to have to make some decisions. And so when you're young and healthy, at least creating a power of attorney for healthcare, so there's a clear chain of one person who can make your choices for you and who that's legally documented, who knows your choices, that's really important. As we begin to age, or if we confront a serious illness, that's a time to think more about doing a living will, where you put a few more details down as to what your wishes actually are. Then finally, towards the end of your life, whether that's secondary to an illness or whether you're now reaching your 80s and 90s, it's time to think about planning that death a little more specifically and actually choosing to do what's called an Idaho post form with a DNR order. That post form is so important because that's the document that really allows the medical system to help keep your choices peaceful and allow a natural death. That's what the form says. It's a box you can check saying allow a natural death. So three phases to advance directives, and no matter where you are in the process, you can be doing one of them.
Mm. Jenna, did you have something to add? I know we've had many conversations about that natural death, because sometimes there's like a stigma to say, oh, well, I don't want to do that. Say, I don't want DNR. With that dying naturally. There's like a different in languaging that I know that you've come across sometimes with your families. Did you want to share anything about that?
Well, DNR, do not resuscitate. And then on the post form, in brackets, it says allow natural death. And so that, I wish it was an AND form rather than a DNR form, because that's, again, the truth of the matter. You're just allowing this natural process. No religion says you have to do everything. You have to artificially maintain a life on tubes and tube feedings and ventilators. It doesn't add to the quality of a life. And I think that if we do anything, it's to add that quality of life into the equation. What will somebody get from this medical intervention, and does it fit that person's goals for their life and how they want that last stage of living to be? Quality of life.
Yes.
One of the important things in palliative care is, rather than start with the illness, we start with a person's story. Who are they? Where did they grow up? How long have they been married? How many kids do they have? What are their hopes and dreams? Because even when you're in the final stages of life, you can still have hopes and dreams for every day. And when we paint a picture of the person's story, we can then encourage them to talk about what's unacceptable to you. How do you not want to live? And really, by knowing what's unacceptable to a person, we can then plan a roadmap, given a certain illness, for what they don't want to have happen. And I always say, if you don't want to end up in the ICU unconscious, surrounded by tubes, you have to make that decision early, because that's probably going to be the default if something happens. So you have to have the courage to stand up early and say, you know, I don't want to do this anymore because I know where this road is going to lead. I want to choose a more peaceful road. And it's okay to do that. I think we have to give ourselves permission to not go to the hospital sometimes, but we still need a plan in place. That's really where early enrollment in hospice comes into play. Planning this process a little bit more, enrolling in hospice so that the patient and their family can have control of this experience. I really credit the baby boomers for changing this time we're in and being brave and having these conversations and choosing hospice early, because that's how we change our culture of this fear of death, by taking control.
That reminds me, yes, you had
something. Well, I was just going to say, with hospice early, you also have the support. Oftentimes, this is the first time a family is going through death and immediate in their household way. And so you have the support of the social workers and nurses and nurses' aides and the chaplains and volunteers, which are so amazing. So that is that other, to support and surround the family, the early hospice.
With love and hope. One of the things I heard when I was at the Death Cafe that really struck me, Jenna, you shared this with me. Many people were sharing different stories about the cultural way we look at death and living life. And you said something that was so profound. I'm really encouraged about the trends that's happening and the changes in our cultural views around end of life and around living and dying. Can you share more about that? Because that to me is hopeful. That to me is very inspirational.
Well, look what we're doing. We're taking a whole week
in
our community to do this. This wouldn't have happened 20 years ago. Going back to the fear of death, I really think it's the fear of looking at it. Because my experience with people is when we do allow it in the room, because it's already here, that it isn't so fearful. Like, we can engage with this idea and actually get a lot out of it. Otherwise, why would we do this for 25 years or more? So it's actually the fear of looking. But when we look towards what is, it adds peace and joy.
Fear is really not knowing. And how many times have I had a patient say to me, I've been waiting for a doctor to talk to me about this? Because they know, they can feel it in their bones, they can feel it in their bodies, they know they've entered the dying process, but no one has talked to them about the stages and what that looks like as time progresses over the hours and days that are to come. And when you explain what that will look like, all of a sudden the fear dissolves and the person seems 100 pounds lighter because of that fear they were carrying about the process is suddenly gone. So it is looking into that fear, making it go away.
And the other thing that I notice through this evolution and our ongoing conversation, the conversation itself is liberating. This is what I found in the podcast that we created back in March, is that there were many ahas. There was like a sense of relief, their sense of hope, inspiration, because rather than just keeping it inside, I'm giving a voice to my experience. I'm giving a voice to maybe things that I'm unsure about, things I'm fearful about, things that really inspired me, that just really gave me hope, things that blessed me, all the things that were amazing in my journey, and to kind of convey that to another person, it's safe to have these conversations with me. It's okay. Because I think in our culture, we've been indoctrinated in some ways to say, this is something we don't talk about. But now that's shifting. That's what I see is so powerful. And then to have a week-long hub, a place of conversation, a place of being together, of where we get to be a presence of love and of hope and of wonder. And I'm just wondering if we could talk a little bit more about the weaving that's happening this week. Mm-hmm. And then the next events that are coming up on Thursday and Friday and Saturday.
And Sunday. Here on KRFY.
That's right.
So I first, though, I felt inspired. I wanted to share this quote from Thich Nhat Hanh. Earth brings us into life and nourishes us, and earth takes us back again. Birth and death are present in every moment. So I invite you to open your heart and mind to the possibility of soul midwifery and family-directed funerals. I encourage you all to explore earth-friendly options for burial and cremation. And you can come down to the hub and check out that info. We have a lot down there. So the original meaning of the word coffin is Greek and essentially translates to basket. Casket comes from the old English French cassette, a small box for valuables. So weaving coffins with willow is a very, very, very old tradition and can be found anywhere on the globe that willow grows, which is a great many places.
Ah, yes. Beautiful, Heidi. Did you want to share a little bit about our Saturday? Because that's like the Weaving It All Together event at the Panada.
Yeah, we have three more events coming. We have a stroll with the seasons tomorrow, Thursday afternoon, 4 p.m. on the Bay Trail. And we're really using nature to inspire our conversation there about what we see going around us is also reflected in our own bodies every day. Friday night, we have a Death with Dinner, and I'd like Jenna to speak to that.
So Death with Dinner is, there's an organization, Michael Hebe started it, and he was an architect, and he liked to do architecture and buildings and spaces to change culture. And then he decided, where are these conversations happening, but around our dinner tables to have these, not only about death, but just about values and what your day has been like. So he created Death Over Dinner. And so it's a more structured event than the Death Cafe. And it are local community restaurants, Spud's, Ivano's, and Tango Cafe, as well as BGH Cafeteria, and our some of our grocery stores, Winter Ridge, Super One, Yolks, and Safeway, have all donated the food. And so we invite Sandpoint community to a Death Over Dinner on Friday night at the community hall. And it starts at 6, from 6 to 8 p.m., so get there between 5:30, 5:45, and to further the conversation with some conversation prompts. And it will be small conversation, small group around the table, as well as large group. Mm. So
Please come join us. It'll be amazing. Did you want to just briefly kind of summarize the weaving final, it all together?
Final event is the capstone event at the Panada on Saturday night at 6 p.m. And because film is such a big part of our culture now, we wanted to take film clips, which really represented this entire process that we're talking about today, weave that in with conversation from a panel discussion and questions from the audience into an evening at the Panada where we could literally weave it all together. Mm-hmm. So tickets are $10. We hope to have lots of good conversation. And, of course, that means having the community come to that event despite the downtown construction.
Right.
So we encourage you. Yes, and if you want to see the final casket and the final end product of this week-long art here woven by all of the community members, we'll have that casket on stage. So it's going to be a great opportunity to see that final product.
Many hearts, many hands, many stories. Many gifts shared. And the most important thing is that our community coming together in conversation, and that is being together. I just wonder if we can just share this thank you, this gratitude to our community. We want to say thank you to the Hase Properties for donating the incredible space at 119 North First for our whole week. This is an amazing gift. We want to thank Brian Lorzenson for building the base for our beautiful community casket we're weaving, Evans Brothers for supplying coffee all week at the Hub and to the Death Cafe. We offer our great thanks to Charles for Something Old, Something New for donating yarn, Cassie Don Fagjan with the basket cask for donating basket weaving supplies, and all the folks in our community who donated yarn. We give our special thanks to the Rejuvenation Sanctuary for transforming this location into sacred space, to Neiman's Florist for the fall bouquets, Kirsten Longmire with the Sandpoint Medical Massage for harvesting willows and spearheading the top of our community casket, for Robin from Flowers from the Heart for doing the wisteria for the casket weaving, Burl Wood Dreams for loaning wooden urns and other wooden wonders to our Hub for conversations of living and dying well. And we especially thank you to all our volunteers and donators who are making this week-long event run smoothly. May all our lives continue to open in beauty, our hearts open in love.
Oh, beautifully said. I just want to say, this is Susie Prez, the host of the morning show, and just listening to what you're saying, this is truly a gift that you've put together. You live this on a daily basis. And I was thinking about children and normalizing it for the young children. I know that at the Hub, there's stuff for them to do, and that it becomes not such a scary thing. You just change the culture around it, and that's what you're doing, and sincerely appreciate it. And I just want to also say that if folks want more information, they can call Lissa at 208-265-1185.
That's right. And we have a website.
And the website is bonnergeneral.org. And I did look at the site for this week-long Living and Dying Well event and conversation, and it's well spelled out. It's very clear. And to participate in something like this and all the folks that put it together, thank you. Mm. Great job. Any last-minute thoughts? We have about 1 minute.
Ah, well, I do want to bring in some people right now to our circle, because We have an amazing gift of developers, and I just want to especially thank Cindy Eskelson and Mary Fraser, because they're very instrumental and part of our development team, and also to both Bonner General Health Community Hospice and the North Idaho Palliative Care Coalition, because this is something we dreamed up together and we unfolded together, and it is a great opportunity for our community to have an opportunity to have a thought about living life and to really have an opportunity to look at and embrace the end of life as well.
How beautiful is that? I want to thank Dr. Nicole Pelle, Heidi Heitkamp, Jenna Moss, and Lissa DeFreitas for the work you're doing and for being here today.
We're grateful to be with you.
How joyful is that? We're going to have a quick song. This is 88.5 KRFY, your listener-supported commercial-free community radio for North Idaho. And this is Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World. We'll be back with a bit of community events, so stay with us and enjoy Louis Armstrong.
Can we hear that?
Oh, yeah. Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World. A perfect song after today's discussion on the Living and Dying Well event that our community is blessed with all week long. It's a series of events and conversations. And today, well, you had the morning show as part of their special events. You can go to the website at bonnergeneral.org and find out more about this week-long event. We have a few announcements. We again want to thank our online auction is now closed. It was a success, and we want to thank everyone who donated items to the auction and everyone who bid on those most amazing auction items. Thank you for supporting this community radio station, this listener-supported commercial-free community radio station. You can support KRFY by making a donation today at krfy.org. We really appreciate support. Keeps us on the air and keeps us viable. Also, on the morning show tomorrow, you can join Jim and Jack as they visit with Heather Upton and Cassie Marler from the Bonner County History Museum about trick-or-treats at the museum. See what's going on there for Halloween. And next week on the KRFY morning show on Wednesday, October 23rd, Chris Bessler and myself will be back with Local Decision 2019 November for a talk with the City of Sandpoint mayoral candidates. Hopefully all three of them will be here and we can get to know them a little bit. That's what Local Decision's all about, getting informed and finding out more. So thank you for listening to the morning show. I'm going to turn it over to some music. We have up first Elvis Presley, Can't Help Falling in Love. And then you'll probably hear a little bit of Brandi Carlile's Have You Ever. And I just want to wish you a beautiful day. Thanks for listening. This is the morning show. I'm Susie Perez. Have a good day.